talking a little bit about how a health department spends those vital dollars on essential services.
Thank you, Ron. And first of all, I'd just like to do a few acknowledgments. This study was conducted by the Florida Practice-Based Research Network. I don't know if you're familiar with the Robert Wood Johnson Initiative to support practice-based research networks for public health. And this one was the Florida Network, and Bob Harmon is the chair of the steering committee sitting here in the front. This is also, in addition to Robert Wood Johnson Foundation acknowledgement, I'd like to acknowledge the National Coordinating Center for Public Health Practice-Based Research Network, and Glenn Mays, the director of that, has now moved that center from Arkansas to the University of Kentucky. The purpose of this study was to assess how public health essential services are funded in Florida, and it was conducted by this team of practitioners and researchers from academics in academic communities in Florida. The methods were all the county health department directors and administrators were conducted. That was 67 counties, but a number of them share directors administrators, so there were actually only 60 directors administrators. And the county health department, because seven of them cover two counties, we had a very good response rate. 20% of them were directors, 51% administrators, and 59% were other officials that were designated by the director, such as a director of finance or director of administration. Our response rates were, depending on how you're calculating it, between 75 to 77%. This was primarily an online survey, so by most standards for online surveys, this is pretty spectacular response rate. Although, quite frankly, with some of the PBRN research, we're getting very good response rates, partially because it's research by the practice community for the practice community. So, our primary data collection was this web-based survey. It was a fill-in response for identifying who your county health department was and what your role was. There were 10 assessment items related, self-assessment items related to the essential services, 10 related to the supporting documentation, and 10 related to sources of support. And there was one additional item about the trending for the funding in essential services. We also use some secondary data. The Florida Department of Health has the State Department of Health has fairly consistent data. So one of the good things about doing the study in Florida is that Florida has and has had for a number of years a finance system that's consistent across all the health departments, and has a number of other electronic data systems that are consistent across all of Florida's county health departments. So it allows for greater continuity of data and great potential for doing studies like this. And this is just a summary sheet of all the data. Obviously, if I showed you the spreadsheet for all these different data for the 67 counties, it would be lots of little dots there. But you can see kind of the total amounts of funding for county health departments. That's $873 million. $219 of that is general revenue. Federal funding comes in to support a lot. Medicaid is obviously another major supporter of county health departments, and that varies pretty extensively throughout the state. So some are big Medicaid providers, some are not. And so that allowed us to do some study then of the importance of Medicaid within providing essential services. Our analytic techniques, we calculated response percents for each category of response, converted self-assessed essential capacity to ordinal scales so that we could then do statistical analysis. For the inferential statistics, we also calculated per capita revenue for the different sources of revenue and converted self-assessed essential capacity to ordinal scores and calculated aggregated scores for all 10 essential services and did some stepwise regression analysis and some vector analysis. And I'll touch on those things a little bit just to... There were limitations, obviously, at self-assessed report of essential services based on this was called Part B domains of the Public Health Accreditation Board, so that we were using the beta testing standards at that time. You know, in the last few months, of course, FAB has released its new standards. They, instead of two domains, they with 10 standards in one, which were the essential services, and two for organization administration. They're all now under 12 domains, with the 10 essential services, essentially 10 of the domains, and then the last two are the administration and governance. The this is a limitation, but of course accreditation is self-assessed itself, and a lot of it has to do with it does have a verification step in there that this process does not, but one of the things that we did ask as part of this was, what's your level of documentation for this? So there was, we weren't just asking them to give us a grandiose idea of what they'd like to be doing. We did ask them if they could document it and so on. There's also some potential sampling bias due to disproportionate non-participation of smaller counties. But overall, we actually had a very good response rate across the different counties, and this actually shows you the different quartiles. The first quartile being the basically 8,000 to 26,000, the second quartile, and so on. And it was a little bit underrepresented on that first quartile, but some pretty good representation across most of the quartiles, with some underrepresentation of the smaller quartiles, which, you know, probably has, we may not be really being sensitive then to some of the issues of the smaller counties enough. But the results of the self-assessed essential performance, completely or almost completely, there you see the 10 essential services, and essential service 2, which basically is the investigation essential service people rated themselves at almost completely or completely meeting that standard. Then you see some pretty broad variety there across the other standards. The enforcement one is the essential service 6. So you know, you can see that obviously in Florida at least, those two essential services are pretty much major priorities across the board for the different county health departments. The lowest one and the two lowest are there around evaluation quality improvement and the evidence-based, the research evidence-based one, which is a little bit not good for our scientific foundations of public health delivery. These are actually, I won't go into this, but this kind of shows you the breakdown of each of the services. And so the monitoring and assessing was not bad, but not great. But the essential service 8 was actually right up there, maintaining the workforce. So that's actually written into the statute that they have a responsibility related to workforce development. So, but then again, you see some of the other essential services are very low, with the essential service on evidence and research being very lowly rated as almost or complete or complete, and some of them saying not at all. Related to documentation, well, these patterns are kind of consistent. Obviously, if you're not doing much, you're not going to have much documentation there. So the lowest one is the evidence and research, the highest one being the investigation component of, and right up there is the workforce development and the enforcement components, but a pretty high level of assessment related to documentation. Now, the one thing about Florida also that, is that Florida was right up there in a large number of counties applying for the beta testing. So there seemed to be some pretty pretty high levels of interest in Florida to do the accreditation, whereas in some other states that I'm working with, there's especially a year or two ago, there's really very, very low levels, and it's just starting to get, we're just starting to see some interest now. And then this is the breakdown, so I'm not going to get into the details. I don't think you need to see the details of each category for their self-assessed essential documentation. But then we look at the funding sources of the essential services. And I've highlighted a few of these things just to draw your attention to the highlighted areas. The the monitoring and assessing is very heavily dependent on the GR non-categorical funding. When you look at the disease investigation there and also Essential Service 6 enforcement, you see there's funding sources that are fairly, across categorical funding, non-categorical funding, and fees. Categorical funding means, in other words, there was specific funding for that particular activity, dedicated funding, and there's fees, and frequently either the state sets the fees or the local government sets the fees, so there's fees that actually support that essential service. The one area that was totally dependent, or much more dependent, the majority of the funds came from categorical funding, was informing and educating. So that was kind of a very unique distinction. You see very different patterns depending on the essential service here. And that's probably going to be pretty important as we move forward with our developing our capacity at the local level for essential services. And here again, improving access, that came from a number of different sources. I lined up that slide a little poorly, apparently, but and you can see there, then again, that no funding at all for evidence research. In some cases, the funding there was the lowest. So in terms of implementing evidence-based practice and all, and even doing evaluation and QI, there's not a lot of resources going to that. And what I'm hearing is that public health really has to up its game in regard to, if we want to get public support, we want to get funding, we have to have a better evidence base. We have to document the what's we're doing, and we're not putting the resources into that, and we're not able to get the resources for that. So that's a real challenge for us in public health. An interesting relationship, and this is a little different than what we've seen, average assessed essential service by total revenue per capita. Surprisingly, I mean, that R squared is very low. It was not a statistically significant p-value. Essentially, and then actually I presented this in Nature too, and they said, well, look at the funding by population size. And we actually came up with a similar R squared. So it was kind of, that tends to run against the typical trends. But again, if we're not dealing with, next door we have Georgia where they have counties as small as 2,000 and all. There's no way you could translate this result where we were looking more at much larger counties. And we did have a little bit of underrepresentation, and probably the smallest counties were not included. So, but when you're looking at counties with at least a substantial amount of resource, not the smallest, but moderate to large, there does seem to be some capacity to do the essential services and to have funding for it. We did do a lot of assessments, and oops, I didn't change that. That white shows up there. But essentially what we were looking at was the correlations. We did find correlations between county fees and informing and educating, and county fees and engaging the community. Now, that would tend to not make a lot of sense, but when you start to look at these patterns here, and let me go on to some of the other funding where we found correlations. Medicaid was positively correlated with not only improving access, which you would expect, right, you're providing clinical care and so on through the health department, but it actually helped with maintaining the workforce, with evaluation and quality improvement, and with evidence-based research. So, and the county fees also complemented a lot of those essential services. So, these are areas where the county health departments have discretion, and they have the ability to go for instance, Medicaid or not. And though, so there seems to be a positive correlation. If you have some capacity, the more capacity you have to do anything, the more capacity maybe you have to do the most minimal thing. So this does tend to fly a little bit in the face of some of the expert panel decisions of the last couple of decades that basically said that providing clinical services detracts and undermines the provision of core public health functions. That was maybe not made with a clear evidence base to support it, and maybe we need to look at that a little bit more clearly to make sure. Just one other thing, if you have capacity to do something and you're active in the community, you're probably going to have more community clout to be able to even influence various systems. So the conclusion is many county health departments report complete or almost complete capacity to meet public health accreditation Board Essential Services standards ranging from 30% to 98%. Many county health departments report adequate to very thorough documentation of capacity to meet the essential service standards. Most county health departments in Florida rely extensively over 50% on general revenue funding. That's money coming to the state that is discretionary. When you cut that money, which there is being cut, I mean, it looks like there's going to be a lot of damage to the essential services then, so that's kind of a problem for us. Medicaid revenue was, and by the way, with that one question, people were saying that that they were experiencing declines in the funding of revenue for essential services. So here we are moving towards actually holding people accountable for essential services at the same time we're experiencing funding decreases that support them. This one, again, I alluded to before, Medicaid revenue was positively correlated with a number of essential services. Counties vary extensively in the provision of Medicaid services in Florida. So, and again, this may contradict some of our expert opinions of the past couple decades. County fees were positively correlated with a number of essential services. And again, that basic idea that perhaps if you're able to aggressively collect the fees for the services that you do provide, where you can collect fees, that frees up more money to do the things that you can't collect fees for. So I guess it's not really outside the box thinking, but it's something that we really haven't thought about that much, or at least articulated that much. The other thing is variations in total amounts of funding do not appear to explain most of the variance in capacity to perform essential services. How funds are used to support essential services appear to be attributable to other factors. And I don't put this in writing here, but yeah, really the leadership of the county health departments, probably where they prioritize things, what they decide to do with things is probably going to make a big difference as to the extent that some of these essential services are funding or not funding. So, these recommendations, health departments and agencies that fund local health departments need to explore innovative approaches to fund traditional services, and we may need some qualitative research to explore then what is determining what directors and administrators prioritize for public health. And some of it goes back to accreditation. If accreditation becomes the thing to do, then that probably will put pressure on people to devote more resources to essential services. And this is just some of my contact information. I didn't have a disclaimer slide other than the fact that I work for the Duval County Health Department and the University of Florida College of Medicine and the Jinping Su College of Public Health. I'm not selling any products. So that's pretty much it. Thank you.